so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away that has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30.
Well, thank you very much indeed for that reading. We're going to pray now and ask God to help us to understand his word. Perhaps if you keep that passage open in front of you as we do so. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Our Father, we pray that you would enable us now to delight in the words of Jesus. We ask that we might be like the tree that is planted by streams of water and yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, the parable that we're going to be looking at today is a parable of growth. It comes in a chapter on the advance of the kingly rule of Jesus. It was first told to a crowd, and it was told to a crowd of such size that Jesus had to put out to sea in order to be able to be seen and heard by them. But it seems that the crowd drift away none the wiser. The meaning of the parables is not immediately obvious, and further explanation is required. In fact, it's only the disciples who come humbly to Jesus and seek explanation who find they understand. And in the light of this discouraging shrinkage from tens of thousands to just possibly 40 or 50 or even less who come humbly to Jesus to learn from him, Jesus explains the parable of the sower. I have 2 points, and the first is this. The kingly rule of Jesus advances through the widespread broadcast of his word. The kingly rule of Jesus advances through the widespread broadcast of his word. The power of the word of Jesus brings remarkable growth, but the growth takes place through widespread broadcast. And that point is made for us both by the individual expressions of the parable, and by the different soil types, and by the context in which this parable finds itself within the chapter, and by Jesus' method for the advance and growth of his kingdom right the way through Matthew's gospel. So this is a key parable that explains for us how we will see the kingly rule of Jesus advance in any age. You can see that the individual expressions of the parable underline that the growth comes through the word. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Verse 20, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. Verse 21, he has no root in himself and endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. As for the one that's sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Any Lincolnshire grain baron would gladly surrender their subsidies for the yield of verse 23, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But the yield comes through the widespread broadcast of the words of Jesus. And the different soil types makes plain that the broadcast is widespread. It is cast broad. This is broadcasting, not precision drilling. I grew up on a farm down in Cornwall, and we were always about 20 or 30 years behind everybody else. And that back in one of the backs of one of our sheds was what was known as a seed fiddle. We used to use it occasionally, actually. It was sort of like a combination of a violin and a vacuum cleaner. You carried the bag on your back with the seed in it, and you had this kind of fiddle that you did this with, and one pace, well, I won't go into details, and a shutter at the bottom. And as you went along, so the seed was spread. It was called broadcasting. In the first century, I don't suppose they had seed fiddles. They just did it with their hand and a bag or a basket. But it's not just the individual expressions that make the point about growth coming through the widespread broadcast of the word. It's not just the different soil types, as the word falls on all these different types of soil, and yet growth comes nonetheless. Actually, when we stop and look at it in the chapter, we find that this parable illustrates precisely the method that Jesus is using to advance his kingdom. So have a look at verse 1 and 2. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat down while the crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. In other words, Jesus taught to the masses. It was widespread broadcasting. But what went about spreading his kingdom was by spreading the word wide. And then the few would come to him and say, now, what does it actually mean? They would humbly sit at his feet. He would instruct them, and then you would see the growth. But we mustn't divorce those two things. It's the widespread broadcast that brings the few in, and then the few are instructed. Jesus goes on to tell any number of parables, well, three, in fact, from verse 24. And verse 34, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him. So all the time he's spreading his word wide within the chapter. Indeed, that is his method all the way through the gospel. Now, just to make sure that you're thoroughly alert and have not left the grey matter back in the office, turn back to chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to do a quick race through the gospel, and we're going to see that this is Jesus' technique. 4:17. Are you ready? From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, the kingdom is at hand. 4:23. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. 5:2. He went up, seeing the crowds, he went on the mountain, sat down with his disciples and opened his mouth and taught them. 7:28. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at his teaching. 9:35, over the page again. We're on page 982. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He sends his disciples out to teach, chapter 10, verse 7. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He tells his disciples, verse 27, what I say to you in the dark, say in the light what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. In other words, spread it wide, broadcast it. Broadcast my word, for this is the way the kingdom grows. Indeed, as he goes through Galilee, he teaches, chapter 11, verse 1. When Jesus finished instructing his disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. He describes the period in which we now live, chapter 24, as a period of proclamation. This gospel of the kingdom, chapter 24, verse 14, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations. And ultimately, he sends out his disciples, chapter 8, 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you." So this parable, you see, is an explanation of the method that Jesus uses for the growth of his kingly rule. And the method he uses for the growth of his kingly rule, his business plan, if you like, is for widespread broadcast with the invitation, come and listen, so that as the few respond and come and listen, then you see the dramatic growth. Dramatic growth, yes. Widespread broadcast, dramatic growth amongst the few. Now, I think this is extremely important for us to grasp. It's a vital lesson. If you were with us last night, then last night had very little to do with this. But if you were with us last week, you will have heard that Jesus' explanation of why he taught in parables. And you might have been rather surprised. Jesus said that he teaches in parables because the parables act as a filter or a hardening agent. They're not immediately understood. That's why the disciples come and say, explain the parables to us, please, we don't understand them. The parables filter out those who will not come and sit humbly at Jesus' feet. Jesus is the king. He won't explain the secrets of the kingdom to people who are so blasé and hard-hearted that actually they're not interested in hearing. He only explains the truth of the kingdom to those who will come and sit humbly at his feet and listen. Now, it might be possible for us to conclude from that we ought to just wait here in the barge for people to come in. Let's not go out with the message of Jesus. Let's wait and see who the Lord brings. In fact, one of the questions somebody asked me when I was teaching on this passage earlier in the year was, if Jesus taught in parables in order to conceal the implications of the kingdom from those who refused to come to him, how should we operate? There was a little church near where I used to work in South London, and one really got the impression from this church, which was extraordinarily strict and deeply particular, that really it was only the chosen who will be saved by the gospel, only the chosen who will understand the gospel, yes. The chosen must come to Jesus to be taught the gospel, and so we will shut ourselves in our building and we will wait. And if the Lord wants to bring the chosen in, then he'll bring them in through the roof, because that's how he did it in the gospels. I mean, of course, they didn't say that, but one got the impression that it was that kind of mentality. It's almost as if they were waiting for God. Actually, this parable, in its context, in the chapter and in the whole of Matthew's gospel, teaches us that the gospel grows through the widespread broadcast of the word of Jesus over many soil types. As it is spread wide, so it takes root in some, and then you see the awesome growth. But the message of Jesus' kingly rule must be broadcast. Why, question, why has there been Christian stagnation in England over the last century? Answer, because of a famine of God's word. Question, how will the Christian message and the kingly rule of Jesus be re-established here in the Wharf, in the city of London? Answer, through the widespread broadcast of his word. That's how it happens. And therefore I want to ask us here, because I don't hear, and I'm not here the rest of the year, I want to ask you, what about the widespread broadcast of the words of Jesus? Let me say, this is not the responsibility of Marcus or Richard or Hannah or any of the other team on their own. It is our responsibility. I remember my grandfather, who is a wonderful Christian man, through whom I became a Christian myself. I was on holiday with him when I was in the army, and I remember we were chatting about all sorts of Christian things. I remember saying to him, I wish you were in my regiment in order to be able to share some of the things that you're saying to me with my fellow officers and soldiers. And my grandfather turned to me and said, quick as a flash, What do you think God's put you there for, William?
Now, you see, the way that the gospel message or the kingly rule of Jesus is going to spread in this part of town is through the widespread broadcast of his word over all different soil types. We'll look at them in a minute. Maybe through bringing somebody here on a Wednesday. It may be. Certainly, we will want to be here because others will have brought people and that'll give us an opportunity to encourage them and support them, line up with them. Certainly, it will be through me being personally equipped to speak about why I follow Jesus and what following Jesus means for me and my family. That's the widespread broadcast of his word. I'm convinced, actually, that every single Christian in the city really did pray for God to provide us with one person with whom we could broadcast the word, if you like. Then we would find huge Christian growth. After all, it's not as if we're praying for something God doesn't want to happen. But there are many, many ways in which we can be engaged in the widespread broadcast of the word. One office group up in the city has set up their own office-based Christianity Explored group. I don't know, is that the sort of thing you do down here? It's been terrific. Just before Christmas, another friend in UBS, he's sort of a fairly senior figure on his trading floor actually, booked a private room in a restaurant and invited 10 or 15 of his colleagues to come, and me. And I was given 10 minutes to talk to them, and then we had an hour and a half of questions over a very good lunch, actually. I didn't get a chance to eat it because I was busy answering the questions. It was rather disappointing. He wrote to me afterwards. He said, it's the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my whole time in the city. Interestingly, on the morning when he actually had the lunch, in his daily Bible reading, which is set, he was reading Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. It was terrific encouragement, the widespread broadcast of the word. Some very brave and courageous people have gone out on the streets in our part of town with questionnaires. Others have used tapes or the website in order to pass on talks. MP3, I think it is. But the promise is here, isn't it? This is how it happens. Growth will come, and I would suggest that this business model will only fail through lack of implementation. The widespread broadcast of the word, that's how the kingdom grows. Notice the kingdom does not grow through military force, through the bullet or the bomb. The kingdom of Jesus is not a satanic kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus does not grow through management, sort of clever speak or anything like that. The kingdom of Jesus grows through the broadcast of his word. But if this parable teaches that God's kingdom advances through the widespread proclamation of Jesus' word, it also teaches that the kingdom grows and goes on growing in spite of very mixed results. And of course, that's implicit, isn't it? The results will be mixed. And the mixed results are the norm. Jesus talks to tens of thousands by the seaside, and only a handful come into the house to be discipled. And yet there's radical growth. Now, you'll be familiar, I suspect, if you've read this parable before, with the three categories of failure. And I'm going to give them the name subtle satanic diversion, withering rootless enthusiasm, suffocating worldly distraction. Wednesday by Wednesday, Sunday by Sunday, day by day, as we share our testimony with a colleague or talk with a friend, on the way back from the station, the devil is at work, even as we broadcast the word. Now, of course, the devil isn't so stupid as to parade around with a forked tail and a pair of red tights. He doesn't confine himself to the devilish horrors of the Exorcist, or Friday the 13th. He's much more subtle and sensible than that. Indeed, he pecks up seed that has fallen onto hard ground in order to ensure it doesn't get a chance to penetrate. That's the picture, isn't it, in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Now, you will have seen this over and again. The word is preached. It's well communicated. In fact, somebody says, what a brilliantly clear talk. You may have explained it yourself as clearly as you possibly can as you sat on the tube on the way. I know you don't talk on the tube, do we? But wherever it was, we sat in the restaurant. We explained it as we've lent a book or a CD. It's crystal clear. The last thing Satan wants is for the kingly rule of Jesus to advance. Peck, peck, peck. Some distraction, something else, and away it goes. Last year I was at a dinner laid on in one of the London suburbs. The host had gathered 20 or 30 to supper. There was a speaker, in fact several of us invited friends down to this person's home. And the speaker explained the word of Jesus. It was a wonderfully clear talk. This was widespread broadcasting. One woman had brought her husband. He was there under sufferance, and it was the equivalent of a 10-year-old sulk in a 48-year-old businessman, only marginally better disguised, not a lot. Throughout the dinner and the talk, he sat there with his BlackBerry under the table, sending emails. It's hard to imagine the devil at work, isn't it? In a drawing room in suburban Dulwich. That was what was going on. Peck, peck, peck. And away it goes. Subtle satanic diversion. Withering, rootless enthusiasm, verse 20 and 21. Let me read those verses. Notice the enthusiasm, but would you notice why the word withers? Let me read the verses. Verse 20. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. I remember a young graduate arriving in the city. So thrilled was he to hear the word of Jesus, he was like a young spaniel puppy. He was fascinated by Jesus. He'd never heard the gospel word of Jesus before. We even read the Bible together, one-on-one, for a number of weeks. But do you see why the seed withers in verse 21? He had no root in himself. Now, you will have seen that in your garden. Last summer, we planted on one of the concrete areas. We bricked it up and put in about that much soil and then planted a whole range of plants. It looked lovely for about 3 weeks. And then one by one, they all withered and died. There was no root. J.C. Ryle, a famous commentator, our hearts may yield a plentiful crop of warm feelings and good resolutions, but all the time there is no deeply rooted word. The kingdom word fails to grow because of suffocating worldly distractions. And you can see that in verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The cares of the world are things that worry us. The deceitfulness of wealth is the idea that money and privilege can give me all that I need for eternity, which is a nonsense, because you can't take any of those things with you. There'll be some among us who will always, among whom we spread the word. There'll be some who we spread the word who will always be too busy at work. There'll be others amongst whom we spread the word who will always be too stressed. There'll be some amongst whom we spread the word who are always immersed in something other than the kingly rule of Jesus. It's not that they don't necessarily believe it. It's not that they don't want to be part of it. It's just that there's no room left on the hard drive for understanding Jesus' word and thinking about it. No emotional energy left to ponder it, to allow it to take root. J.C. Ryle again, alas, there are many such hearers. They know the truth well. They hope one day to be decided Christians, but they never come to the point of giving up everything to follow Jesus. The mortgage plan, the pension plan, the school fees, the social life, the health insurance, the career, the market, the bonus, the extension, the garden, the golf club, the health club, the ski trip, the credit card, the DIY. Nothing wrong with them. Foreign holiday is quite a good thing. Social life is great. Christians should provide for their retirement. But when the word is choked, it produces fruitlessness. I wonder when the last time was you did some weeding. Well, now, Jesus' point is not for us to leave all discouraged and full of guilt. His point is that the kingdom grows through the widespread broadcast of his word. That's how it grows. His point is that the kingdom grows alongside mixed results, subtle satanic diversion, withering rootless enthusiasm, suffocating worldly distraction. But the kingdom grows, verse 23, because as we spread the word broad, so some will fall on good soil. And there we will see a yield of 30, 60, 100-fold. Isn't this just exactly what has been seen here over the last months? As the word has taken root in some, and there has been depth and fruit. It's a wonderful thing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you. We thank you so much that you don't just give us the words, a word of life and of truth. You don't just lead us into the glorious secrets of your kingly rule, but you also show us your method, how your rule will spread and advance in the world. Thank you for the privilege of being included in the advance of your kingly rule. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us at it as broadcasters in your service. For your name's sake. Amen.